Welcome to the Green Shoots podcast by Appleyard Lees, a conversation for those who own, manage or protect intellectual property.
Welcome to our podcast. Today we are focusing on aerospace technologies, one part of the fourth edition of the Appleyard Lees Inside Green Innovation Progress Report. The report analyses patent data, as these are good indicators of the ongoing efforts to address and mitigate environmental impacts. But before we get into the detail, let's introduce ourselves. I am Adam Tindall, partner at Appleyard Lees, and I'm joined by my colleague Tegan. Hello.
Hello. So my name is Tegan. I am a trainee patent attorney at Appleyard Lees. I have been here for almost 3 years now. So my background is in medical engineering, and I did briefly work as a design assurance engineer at a company which designed and produced rugged electronics for military and aerospace, so I have some experience in the sector. And since joining Appleyard Lees, I tend to work in mechanical and software focused inventions. But I'm pretty sure, Adam, you've got more of a specific background in aerospace, don't you?
Yes. For many years, I worked for Rolls-Royce PLC, the aero engine part of it. First as a mechanical engineer in the combustion department, designing things, testing things, and then moved into IP and trained there as a patent attorney, which gave me a really great exposure to all parts of aero engines, compressors, turbines, combustion, controls, maintenance. Yeah, it was a great, nice, all-rounded experience.
So aerospace, it covers such a vast sector from, as you say, civil to military, but even on a daily basis, whether you're jumping on a plane to go on holiday or a business trip, or even if you're buying things from the shop that might have been flown in by plane, it's something that really affects everyone, even if you're not zooming around in a fighter jet on your way to work. So I guess that's probably a decent segue into this report. So just to explain that the way the report has been set out is that we look at the data around patent filings in the aerospace sector. And patents are a really interesting way to view this data because it gives you background into where companies are putting their money. What are they looking at investing in? Maybe before they've actually put mechanical things together. We've also considered potentially why companies have looked into going down certain routes that they have.
Yes, exactly. Aerospace is such a highly complex technical area, isn't it? And it has a history of pushing technological boundaries for lots of different reasons. And the present one is around trying to decarbonize, and there's a lot of pressure for them to do that. From our point of view, in the report, it's a perfect area to look at.
When we looked at the report, what was it that the patent data really revealed about green innovation and how that's working in the aerospace sector?
There were at least three key points. So current trends suggest a shift from the filing of patent applications for gradual improvements to traditional technologies to more patent applications for disruptive solutions, for example, hydrogen fuel technologies. There is a diversification in the types of technologies being developed from propulsion systems to material science. Another point, that the number of patent applications in sustainable aerospace filed each year increased up to 2019, which was interesting that there was a bit of a fall at that point. And that the more highly regulated regions in the world, such as the USA and Europe, which admittedly have established aircraft manufacturers, really dominate the sustainable aviation sector.
Interesting. You mentioned that there was a fall in filings falling after 2019. I'm guessing, I'm going to use everyone's favorite word here, that might have been having something to do with the COVID-19 pandemic. How do you think that specifically that had an effect on the aerospace sector and innovation within it?
I mean, for aerospace, it had a noticeable impact. No big surprise, nobody was flying anywhere. I guess companies were panicking quite a lot about where is revenue coming from? Because manufacturers of engines and aircraft don't even sell aircraft to customers there. Sometimes they have agreements with customers, so they get paid by the amount of use of those products. So if nobody's flying, then the companies making the products aren't getting paid anything. They faced a lot of financial problems, which must have led to reduced R&D budgets and reduced IP budgets and delayed projects. But it probably also acted as a catalyst for strategic reassessment in what was important, perhaps. As the industry began to recover, there seems to be a renewed emphasis on sustainability. In 2022, the Civil Aviation Organization Assembly adopted a goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2050. According to independent assessments, the aviation industry is not on track to meet that goal. So to meet the targets, there definitely seems to be a need for further innovation and investment in more radical solutions in the coming years to achieve that net zero target. So have you got a view on which aerospace technologies are currently seeing the most innovation?
From looking at the report, we saw that new fuel types and propulsion technologies. So as you said, so more of the radical thinking of coming up with a sort of brand new ways of looking at the problem, that is, rather than, as you said, trying to tweak what we already have, taking a step back and thinking outside the box and coming up with completely new solutions. So not how can we improve the fuel and the efficiency of the fuel that we're using? Can we use something completely different? The thing that comes with that kind of line of thinking is the all of the accessory developments that are required to put it into place. So you can't just fill up your airplane with a brand new fuel type. You have to look at, okay, so how do we amend the infrastructure in place? How do we store this fuel? How do we deliver it? How does the aircraft function on this type of fuel? Or do we need to make adaptations to the aircraft itself? This kind of radical thinking maybe takes a bit more time to implement than, say, having a slightly more efficient flight path from A to B. It's something that is maybe harder to implement, maybe take more time and more resources, but it looks like a lot of the major players in the aircraft industry are investing a lot in new aircrafts with alternative methods of propulsion. The top filers in sustainable aviation is actually your old employer, Rolls-Royce. Yep. And the other main big companies are General Electric and Boeing, much to, I'm sure, no one's surprise. And Rolls-Royce has been testing a hybrid airplane, which uses a jet fuel engine on one side and hydrogen fuel cells on the other. Rolls-Royce also is now benefiting from 700 million euros of EU funding for green aviation projects, which hopefully means that the number of patent filings in this area is going to be even greater. General Electric's applications appeared to be more focused on engine improvements and fuel supply systems, specifically in hydrogen power. And interestingly, the data for Boeing shows that some of their applications relate to cryogenic storage of fuel, as well as hybrid electric fuel cell engines and the monitoring of emissions data, which kind of implies to us that they are investing in sustainability in term long-term plan, trying to set up infrastructure and systems in place to ensure that they can potentially run and power their hydrogen planes in the long term. So Airbus has recently announced its vision to manufacture a hydrogen fuel cell engine for its future hydrogen-powered aircraft, which is quite interesting. Airbus are also looking at investing in protecting hydrogen storage, which could indicate that they're actually actively looking into making this a reality and being able to actually produce hydrogen-powered aircraft.
Do you have any thoughts on what the key drivers of the innovation are?
As air traffic is increasing, the rate at which patents are filing are not quite exponentially, but are increasing at a greater rate to try and keep up with demand and to address these environmental concerns alongside the increase in people using aviation. We've got the Carbon Offsetting and Reduction Scheme for International Aviation, which came into place in 2016. Obviously, the caveat with any kind of regulatory program is it only affects those that sort of sign up to it and want to be a part of it. So thankfully, I think a lot of the main players are involved. I don't think China yet has signed up, but they have set out their intentions that they will be joining perhaps in the next few years. Do you get a sense of which regions or countries specifically are leading the way in their sort of sustainable aerospace patent filings?
Yes, the report shows that the highest number of new patent filings comes from the USA, which is perhaps not surprising, followed by Europe. Russia, Japan, and South Korea also produced a significant number of new filings, albeit at much more modest volumes, which maybe reflects the size of the companies that work there, perhaps. But despite its significant contribution to global air traffic, China is not the top filers yet, which kind of links back to your point on that they haven't yet signed up to the regulations.
But I do think that we could potentially see China joining these regulatory programs and maybe filing more patents in this sector to try and catch up to other countries in terms of their number of patent filings.
China does move with the tide and will want to sell products and compete in other countries as well. And if there's anything at all that one can say about China is that it's a very innovative country, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they were going to catch up, and their work might potentially exclude developments of American and European firms.
Do you feel that there are any other technology areas where a lot of development's still happening?
Yes, it's good news for you and me as mechanical people. Overall, about 2/3 of patent filings for sustainable aviation in over the past 20 years, I'm talking, have been in the mechanical engineering field. Now, possibly large manufacturers are focusing on hybrid technologies. Startups seem to be playing a greater role in more radical innovation. Given the recent growth in filings related to alternative fuels and alternative propulsion systems, as well as the increasing regulation and incentives to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, it's likely that patent filings in the coming years will increasingly seek to protect those radical changes to aircraft design and operation. The other areas, the arrangement or mounting of power plants or propulsion transmissions in aircraft is another area. This might indicate a trend towards integrating new propulsion systems into known aircraft bodies rather than improvements in the operation and control of the systems that are there already.
I thought it was quite interesting that you said 2/3 of the group of the patent filings that we had were in the mechanical space. I think I would have thought it would have been slightly more even distribution between like software implementations and mechanical, I guess. AI is such a hot topic at the moment, and control systems and optimizing fuel paths, travel directions and things like this. I think that quite surprised me in terms of the report. And I guess, do you have any thoughts behind that?
I know AI is new insofar as it's got our attention a lot now. I wouldn't be surprised if this is some AI in aircraft systems. Certainly, I remember even going back to my times at Rolls-Royce, there were, maybe we didn't call AI, but there were intelligent things going on with engine controls. But I think it comes back to the inherent need for this industry just to be very cautious and to not do anything which is going to risk safety of the passengers and the users and the crews and everyone else.
I wonder whether that ties into the, you mentioned implementing new propulsion systems into old aircraft. So I guess we've got the innovative, the radical side of coming up with a whole new propulsion system, but relying on the core knowledge of, we know this aircraft works, we know the rest of the structure and is safe and is reliable. So potentially not making the entire jump completely straight away to hydrogen or whatever the new sustainable aviation fuel is, but maybe optimizing and improving fuel efficiency.
For example, when you need lots of power at takeoff, maybe you use the dirtier known stuff, but then when you're at cruise, you can use hydrogen, and so your emissions drop. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see aircraft switching more and more to having a combined fuel usage, which makes a big difference to the architecture of the engine because the fuels don't burn in the same way. Some hydrogen will burn a lot hotter than a conventional fuel, and it burns over a shorter distance too. So it's very complicated. So I'd be interested to see, combustion being my thing from my formative days at Rolls-Royce, I'm really interested to see how those problems get sorted out.
Yeah, and I guess if you've got two forms of fuel, that means you've got two forms of storage, two forms of transport, two forms of refueling mechanisms.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's double the problems.
Yeah.
But very interesting. And I think, as you say, even if it's a 50% improvement, 25% improvement, whatever it is in the grand scheme of things, because aviation has such an impact, it will hopefully have a large knock-on effect.
Yeah. Looking through it, were there any trends which surprised you in the data that we found?
I think the focus on mechanical engineering, I was also quite surprised at the number of new startups that were present and were rivaling for top spot. I think you just assume with a sector like aerospace that you've got to have the funds and the resources to be able to develop and test and have that kind of knowledge and experience. I think it's promising. I hope that having smaller startups be not so small really encourages that diverse out-the-box thinking that is evident that we need if we're going to meet the targets that are in place for 2050 and beyond. Yeah.
By their very nature, large companies find it difficult to pivot and change and do things which aren't what they're used to. And you need those newer startups, which find it easier to do new things, to be there to either sell to those bigger companies, be bought by those companies to have their...
Or just prompt the bigger companies to make those changes. And I think as well, they're less constrained by existing infrastructure. They're less bound by, I guess if you already do things a certain way and you have systems set up and you have customers and clients already on the books, then dedicating time and resources to spontaneous innovation and free thinking, I think it's really positive ultimately. And I do think that the patent data does show that there is a real clear and positive growing commitment to developing cleaner, more efficient technologies in this sector. And I just think that innovation always does its best work when faced with a challenge.
That's probably a good place to end. As always, it's been great to talk over these things, different to the kind of discussions we normally have.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
And thank you for listening. If you're interested and would like to learn more, head over to the appleyardlees.com website to get the Inside Green Innovation Progress Report 4th edition. There you can get insights from the latest innovations for green technologies spanning energy, transport, food, materials, many things. So until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Green Shoots podcast by Appleyard Leeds. If you have a question or issue you would like our IP specialist to discuss on the podcast, then email us at ip@appleyardleeds.com.